All right, well, call to order. All right, public discussion of any items not on the agenda. Okay. Consideration of the minutes in October.
I think Ron just had a note that he just needed to be added onto the minutes.
So.
Thanks for electing me and I've sent you.
Yep. I was out of town. You got elected?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll move approval.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Was that Leslie second?
Yeah. Okay. Got our public grant matching grant materials. Would you all find it helpful to go kind of section by section with the application, or just kind of whoever dives in first, wherever we go, we go?
I just want to say how much better last year was. I just want to reiterate that from previous years. Mm. I thought you did a really great job in kind of making those changes. I just felt the caliber was higher and the proposals were clearer because of that framework. So I don't want to deter anyone from making changes this year, but I just want to say I felt like it was remarkably better.
I just wanted to point out the typo, the 4,000 maximum grant award.
I saw that too. Yeah.
I have a question on the rubric. Is it weighted at all, or is it just equal points?
We tend to just do scoring, and then we do, it happens once a year. You don't do the averages, or do you? But I think we have to list everybody's scores.
Yeah.
But then the points.
And then there's sort of an average, yeah.
3, 2, 1 on all of them. They're not weighted.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That was the only thing I saw was, do we want, just because there's so many different points, do we want some of these to be weighted more than others, or sections to be weighted more than others? Me as an architect, I'd put technical ability to carry out scope is the one that I'm most, like my questions would mostly be around how does this stand up, what's your timeline, things like that. Safety and feasibility, how is it maintained? So that's the section that I kind of zero in on, but yeah, that was my only point for discussion is do we want some of these to be weighted or sections worth more points than others?
I think it kind of naturally does that the way you just described that because that's what you would look at and another member of the committee looks at one of the other ones and over the years it feels like it's kind of balanced itself out naturally.
And I think that those are the first objectives to any proposal being funded is can this actually happen and could a lot of projects get put aside because it's like the safety isn't there or the maintenance isn't there or the person has never done anything at that level, you know, which we don't want to deter them, but we also do need it's public, so it does. We do need to have a certain progress, or it can be bigger, but it shouldn't be completely a new venture.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
That said, I'm not opposed to having the rubric reflect that.
My biggest thing that I was looking at is it's like not the content of the rubric or the application, but if we wanted to sort of have the rubric match a little bit more structurally to the application, which is just like moving boxes around essentially more than, again, any sort of editing of content on either one, but of just thinking through, we talk about the just simple things. Like, for instance, I think one of the second questions is asking about, does this meet the definition of public art for, the Public Art Advisory Committee? Would we want to move that from, I think it's box D to box B? You know, just some of those little cleanup kind of things. So
I think that's really smart.
To try to just get things a little bit more, like if I were an applicant, kind of looking at the application and then maybe having it reflect a little bit more on the rubric of going back and forth between readability. It's not so hard as a reader per se, but having that just a little bit more matchy, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
No, I think that's great, and I think it'll help us a lot to not have to be going back and forth.
Do we typically provide the rubric to the applicant as a part of the application, or do they know how they're being scored?
We did not provide it last year, I don't think.
Okay, that might be handy dandy. I know that you know, the Arts Council provides it publicly as well, okay. So I think having that. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Does the Iowa, do they? I thought that they gave comments, but did they give you the rubric?
Yeah, you can find it online publicly.
Okay.
At least you can with your art project grants and like the organizational grant side. I've never looked at the individual artist, but I assume they would.
Okay.
We give artists an opportunity to link to a website or social media or anything.
Meaning?
So many artists have their own website or Instagram or whatever. Like, do we want to take a look at those? Or
we ask for their resume, and oftentimes it's included. I mean, it's almost always included in that. So I know that's how I've gotten. I will look at it as part of the process anyway. But could they put just a direct link? That would make it easier.
I was thinking about that. Yeah, because you know, if you go to the artist, there's always the bio CV, you know, page, and then the portfolio kind of built in.
It's just kind of nice to see, and everybody has it now, so.
It is nice to
contextualize. So just right underneath the upload your resume to have but not necessary, so your website.
Yeah, optional link to website or
Insta.
Yeah.
Whatever,
yeah.
I do like that.
That's a good way to say that.
Another, and this I think is definitely more of a question now if we do put the rubric up, but it's the difference on the rubric between like measurements and outcomes. It seems a little bit more quantitative versus the question that we ask on the application with how will you know your project was successful? And I'm not necessarily advocating for more of a quantitative approach. Sometimes I don't like that myself, but you know, I like the way it's put on the application, so it leaves it a little more loose for those who are smaller projects, or just it's not so nuts and bolt nitpicky. But I'm wondering then if we need to look at the corresponding rubric, or just making them match a little bit more, either in terms of wording or. We're thinking about that a little bit between the application and the rubric. It hasn't really been a thing, but it's been a while since I've looked at the application, the applicant side of things, so I'm just kind of wondering if anybody else feels anything or if it's just me. I don't think there's anything wrong with the rubric personally, but I am wondering if just having that question, the question to the rubric sort of feel a little more coordinated.
Well, you could, instead of writing, how would you know if your project was successful, what if it just said, please list specific outcomes and measures for this project?
Or just have that in parentheses behind that question.
Yeah. It could be just in parentheses, I like that.
Clear.
So after the question of how will you know if your project was successful, in parentheses put specific outcomes and measures. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And then it just gives that, it points to, I need a little something besides like the smiles on people's faces, you know, that is a good thing. But then also that readability, I think, between application and rubric.
Well, what would we be looking for something that's like a statue outside as far as an answer, like the best answer versus for that? I mean,
it's kind of... No, I mean, it's something I wonder about myself when I write grants for my org. So I, you know, I don't have a good...
Well, you know, to have created a wayfinding measure, you know, that could be a measure, saying that, you know, this stands out and now people can refer to that, like, let's meet here, or, you know, I think that wayfinding, I think watching people, you know, you think about, like, you know, the Cloud Gate in Chicago, like, you know, it's a success because of all the different walks of people and how they're actually engaging with that object, which is way beyond the artist's intent. You know, I don't think he thought it would be a destination for bridal pictures.
Right. Well, could we say something like, to add on to that, like, or how do you envision your project benefiting or like
engaging?
Engaging the public.
What do you think?
I think that's nice. It keeps it open for just more flexible. With some projects, it's easier to quantify or have that kind of that seemingly ideal quantifier.
So just in that parenthesis area, list specific outcomes, measures, and engagement and acts of engagement or potential engagement or.
I think we might need to be specific, like you said, about how do you foresee it engaging the public or something. Because that word is something that
question.
Not everybody would understand.
How do you foresee it engaging with the public? Is that, that's kind of, explain how, so that's sort of the public art. Yeah, and then we talk about how is it going to be located in an area open and freely accessible to the general public? How do you anticipate it engaging with the public?
So,
or and just engaging the public.
Engaging the public. Because some of it is ephemeral. It's not going to be.
As part of which question? The how it's defined as public art incorporated into that?
Yeah, or? To have that too, because it's, you know, the ethereal aspects. Are, you know, it would help to address some of that.
And that would give us a good way to speak about that piece, too, in the future.
About half the projects, or
probably a little less than half.
A little half, but over a third.
Yeah,
like somewhere
close to half for sure.
So it's pretty, you know.
And you had set the max at 4,000, and then dropped for all of those that had requested 4,000. You funded them at 3,000 instead, in order to fund more projects.
I'm glad you remembered. I know I was there.
I know one thing that had come up last year. You have your policy on repeat applicants, but that's also not reflected in the rubric, and it doesn't need to be, but something to think about. I think the open air is an example of one.
But I think it is. I thought that too, and then I was rereading it. Because it says, and one of them, hang on.
Is it the timeline, technical ability?
The top one, overall application, on the right side, applicant is unclear and below it. The project has been done by the applicant previously or closely resembles artwork events already available in Iowa City. I think that...
Do we need to, like, break those two apart? Because submitting a clear, concise application is probably different from...
Because I see, like, the Family Folk Machine is coming up again, and that's the reason. Like, we just need to decide if we're going to... fund them every year, or
case could be made, like a similar argument could be made with the open air media festival, you know, and then do we need to think about them differently?
The Iowa Arts Council does address that in their applications. Of, yeah, because it is, which does not mean that they don't fund, but that there should be new components, new partners. It shouldn't just be repeat, repeat, repeat. Yeah. It should be, and this is how we are building and changing and you know.
Well, we're fostering new and innovative public arts. Mm-hmm. Doing the same program every single year doesn't do that.
Would you like to add that question of have you received funding before? If yes, then
how is this project building off of your previous experience?
I would say how is it different?
Okay. How is this different from previous year applications?
Yeah. Different or building off might be the same. But sometimes it can be like, yeah, I'm proposing this thing at school and it's kind of the same thing, but yet it's not because we're adding an international component. Mm. So I'm trying to pursue that. I should include your office.
But you're right, I think that's a conversation we have every single time we go through these grants. Is, what do we do with the repeats? And how do we judge those?
Mm-hmm. And it's good because then they know they need to address it. And they can say, yeah, this has been really successful and people look forward to it and it has great meaning in our community. And it's like, okay, yeah, well, I guess we do want to be part of that.
Did we address the question of possibly waiting the things to...
Oh, yeah, to wait. Yeah. We haven't really, no. I'm open to that. Do we have to, where is it? Oh, okay, this, the contact appropriate city staff. But that's an automatic, they're out if they don't do that. And that's the opportunity where we are kind of talking about safety and feasibility and maintenance. And mm-hmm. No, you can't put that in the middle of the soccer field or whatever.
Sharp edges on one, you're like, woo.
I'm always the one that's like, kids are gonna get hurt.
I so appreciate that. They're like, what, maybe? And then you're like, no, they will.
They would.
That's good.
That looks like a climbable.
It's a climbability category.
Yeah. Climbable. With hard edges. I can see the stitches.
The only ones reading through that I, and again, like I have not, this is my first year on this, so let me know if this works itself out. But some of these in project outcomes, toward the end, especially the functional art, unexpected art, ephemeral art, like these are interesting, but they see those and go, okay, everything can't be all of them.
So we've been using them, it feels like to me, as like, they're like extra credit. Or at least that's how I think of them in my head. A little bit where it's like, all right, if this is working with this, then, you know, it gets more points versus the other one.
But it does go into the math.
Right. So then, you know, is it just kind of like, well, it's you get an extra points if you're doing these things, and if you don't, you don't?
Well, I think it does go into extra credit, because I think then what we do is look and be like, well, yeah, but, you know, this one fulfills that. It would be great to have it, and it gets a little bump. Mm-hmm. But maybe there's some way we can be more, you know, in the same way, if everything falls into one of those, we would try to do something else.
Yeah.
You know, then I guess, you know, do we want to kind of not have those as options this time? Or, you know, is any sort of extra pointage?
You know, we could have it just be another section where it would be like, describe your art, like, or maybe, or would that go into maybe the provide a brief description
of the proposed project and let us know if it falls in, if it falls into one of these categories or something else.
Right, or, yeah.
For the participatory art, I feel like it'd be, and I think for the other ones too, it's useful to keep them in though, because you know, if a bunch of the projects don't have those, then they're not going to get those points. But if they do have that aspect, like especially participatory art, like to me that's a bonus, and project that does that should get an extra point added.
Right, but what about if, but, and that goes, participatory goes into explain how the project is defined. Is, do you feel like it could fit in there? No? Or something?
Maybe the other two could be in a separate section, but I don't know. For participatory, I feel like that should get it, like, that should be taken out just because so many projects aren't participatory, that if you do a project like that, like, I feel like you should get extra points.
Should it, could it just be like a check mark so that, because part of, I think, the reason we do this is so that we get a variety of, mm-hmm. of grantees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if it's not a point, should it just be like, is this check? And then, mm-hmm. so then as we go through, at the end
we can say,
oh, there was six granted. One of them is participatory, one is functional. Would that be a way to do it instead of having it be a points? I don't know if it's any better or not.
I kind of like that because it's either, you know, like I'm thinking of, what if you did have a public art piece that is a sculpture? It's not participatory, but maybe they still get a point because it's either there's no, or do you just have, you know, the check mark? What do you feel like your project does? Is it participatory art? Maybe it's just.
Well, participatory can be hard too because it can be part of watching and going, and you know, that's participating as an audience. You're not maybe up on stage, but
I almost like I agree. You know, is there a way to just note that? How does an artist feel about their piece? You know, is it what have you? But then just being cognizant of it, as Anita said, as we go kind of through. Or as a way to kind of help distribute funding.
And I, well, and if we have the checked boxes, it also could be nice to have a little space where they could say, why? Mm. Why did you check those boxes? So we understand, like, well, you know, all art is, if it's audience dependent, it's participatory.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for something a little bit more, you might want that a little better described. Like, you know, there's opportunities for further participation.
I mean, I thought it meant like the community gets to actually make something or like interact with the art in a way that's more than just observing.
So I would say interactive instead of participatory.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Sparsing person.
Then it's like, well, but you could be at a really artful bus stop, and are you, you know, are you participating in functional art by being, using the space? You know, I don't know. It's that weird, like.
I think you're talking about two separate things, questions. Though, because the broader participatory could be everything. But Jeremy, what you're saying is maybe the question is simple: will the public participate in the creation of this art or performance,
or interact with it physically?
Well, I'm thinking, no, I'm thinking specifically you're saying that they're actually a part of making it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so make the question specifically, will the public have an opportunity to participate in the making of this art or performance? That's one. And then the larger is the, how does the public interact or participate in an ongoing way with the finished product, right? Is that maybe what we're talking about is two separate things?
And so do you feel we should separate those out and clarify?
I mean, it could be, they could include it in their engagement, like, question, but it might be useful just for us to have it separate, just so we included in our scoring.
And I can see the difference between it being a dance performance where the public comes and watches, mm-hmm. and a dance performance where the children or people are actually encouraged to come up and be a part of it at some point. One is more participatory, active participatory.
Yeah.
Right.
That's no, right. I see what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah. Like we had a while ago they did some kind of parade where people made their costumes and then actually marched in the parade.
But that's nice, the kind
yeah,
of carnival. Nice.
Yeah.
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 That's great. That's fun. I just feel that anything that receives a score should be visible on the application. So it's not like a check you off. Like, you know what I mean? Like I don't wanna, because, you know, it might just be they didn't realize, like, I want it to be very clear and understandable so they can address it as best they can, or, you know, but not have it be like, I also don't want them trying to fit the, you know, the square peg into the round.
Yeah.
Like, it fits.
I swear I'm going to do something and somebody's going to run around a piece, you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're going to play tech.
That was kind of my concern looking at it, is I guess I assumed looking at this that the public got the checklist or the rubric. And I think sometimes people see a rubric and are like, okay, we must check every box on the rubric.
I'm an A student.
And nothing can check every box.
No, and this
box.
Would be very
high anxiety,
you know, yeah. I think. How do you, oh my God, how do you make everything work?
Which is why I think having a question of, would you describe your work as functional art, unexpected art, participatory art, ephemeral art, and why?
Yeah.
Like just being just for, or not, and why? Or, you know, because it doesn't, you know, like we could have a great proposal that doesn't check any of these boxes.
I'm thinking, like, ooh, what if somebody has a really great sculpture they want to put someplace? But, you know, you don't usually.
Yeah, they're like, oh,
you know. So they have to run around and play tag around it before they get it to be, you know.
Do we need to explain that we're trying to get a variety of types of art?
In order to ensure variety, how would you describe
or
your work?
Does your art match any of these types of art, is what I would. Maybe that's not even quite, it doesn't match any of these, but I think we actually give a little example. So is it functional, like we have here, e.g. a bus stop bench? Unexpected, is it located in a place or happens at a time where the art is completely unexpected?
Mm-hmm.
Participatory, is there a clear opportunity for aspect of the community participation? We kind of have it already here.
That's in the rubric.
And so we just take the top thing in the rubric and ask the question, but that is the description of it, and then it's just a yes or no, and then maybe you don't need them to fully explain each one.
Yeah, I think that's good.
And if we're still going by the point, though, then are they not going to get...
But so this would no longer be points. This would be, after we do the scoring, then we would say, right now it looks like we're going to grant 3 that are ephemeral art projects, or we have none, and we had 6 applicants that were this. Do we want to go back and look
for one? Yeah.
Yeah, and move one around or something, so we have a greater diversity of...
I think that might help with some of our...
Does it make it too complicated?
I actually think it makes it less, at least in my head, but then also there's a way to point to, you know, in this strategic plan, you know, we're kind of looking for this, so then it can be changed out if needed over time.
Yeah, and we look at it and our top 4 are all murals.
Maybe.
And there's...
But because of that, I would like to add something like introspective or contemplative. Because I think that's sometimes what the murals are trying to do, and it's fine to have, I don't want to discourage. I do get tired of, like, everyone public art equals mural,
right.
But I don't want to also discourage some of that, because there can be really great murals. And they're already, you know, a little biased against it. But, well, there's just so many proposals.
Put a mural on it.
I see bear cement out there.
Yeah.
And so if that were it, then the project details description, project costs and budget would be more, oh, and then engagement, so, wait. And project outcomes, yeah. So those are the main three headings. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the goal has been to be able to kind of suss that out, but, you know, but we can see, like, because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, project details and description ends up being worth 18 points, right? Mm-hmm. And then project cost and budget ends up being worth 6 points. And then the outcomes, if we take out that part, it sort of falls back in line.
That's a good point. I like that. Yeah. That balances it out better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then project outcomes is based on 3, which would be 9. If you want it, like, not have it as, you know, like, because the project details is worth a lot, but it seems like the image plans and project illustration, does that kind of go with technical ability to carry out scope of project? Are those a little close, or do you feel like you need both of those?
I feel like they could be different things. But I'm also not opposed to, you know, personally not opposed to, you know, perhaps combining those.
Well, we specifically ask for the timeline is in ability to carry out.
Right.
Do we have that as a question? Timeline?
Mm-hmm.
It's in there? Somewhere?
Yeah.
I feel like I have too many pieces.
It's like page 2 of the application.
Okay.
The, so before the uploads, mm-hmm. essentially.
Good. Okay.
Because I feel like you could have, you know, like it's really great illustrations, but then have you put enough with the timeline? Or can you? But then they do tend to correlate. I don't know, you know. Sophie, what are you thinking on this? So, like,
yeah.
I know that you
need
have the very
timeline
technical, but then do you come across situations where it's like, these are really great examples of work and whatnot, but then, you know, clearly there's no technical ability here, or, you know, or evidence. So what are you thinking
yeah.
on this?
A lot of that. And this just might be specific to the building industry, but usually we prove that with the images, plans, and project
okay.
illustration. Like, what, a lot of what you submit is drawings and images and renderings of what you're going to do, and that's how we would judge quality, is by looking at that. So for me, like, that's the first thing I'd look at with these is what have they drawn and to what level of detail. And, like, usually those things go together.
Sure.
How well thought out it is evident in what the picture of it they present. Yeah.
So do you feel like F should be combined with C, or do you feel like they should be standalone?
I like them standalone because
okay.
I think there's an element of that that's just quality of work and effort put in and how well thought out that is
okay.
specific to looking at the image.
And it, you know, it almost seems like, too, A should be its own thing.
Oh, yeah, because we split A into two pieces as
that's
well.
That's right.
but that that would be its own section, kind of overall application section. Because we added in that, have we seen this applicant or this project before to that?
And then and just have that be one, overall application, two, project details and description, three, project costs, you know, so we would just, we would now go to four.
Then I'm kind of thinking, like, in terms of logic or readability, or would we want to move, like, project outcomes into that above the project budget or anything like that? I'm fine either way. I was just trying to think about application rubric, just thinking about restructuring versus, again, content.
I like the idea of having it, because I assume, you know, as you're filling this out, you've got the rubric sitting next to you, and you're making sure you'd be going through them in the same order.
Yeah, that makes it...
Oh, no, sorry, I thought there was a hand or, like, gesture. Oh. So I wanted to make sure that it was like, oh, Leslie. All right, okay. You did weigh in, so yay, there's no missing weighing in.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about reviewing grants, like with Iowa Arts Council, you're looking at the...
Well, when you write it, but when I write a grant, it's like, you know, and when I'm teaching, it's like, no, they asked for that first. You don't, that's not in the fifth paragraph.
That's an easier, first paragraph. Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. You go right down that line.
Yep.
Don't bury your lead.
Yep.
How are you, like, in terms of conversation versus notes and things?
I think I've captured everything, but I'm always happy to recap what I heard if you want me to, if you're done discussing.
Maybe recap, just make sure?
Sure.
And it's more for, like, making sure, like, we're communicating to you and making sure that's clear.
Yeah. To each other.
Yes.
Okay. So, starting out, just need to update the typo on the $4,000 max award. Moving on to the application form. After the resume, you would like to add an optional link for them to upload the URL for their website and or social media sites.
It's an optional.
Yes. You would like to add a question that ask if they've received grant funding before, and if they select yes, then they will have to answer how the project they're submitting this year is different or expanded from last year, or the previous time they were funded, I should say. For how the project's defined as public art, we're adding an additional description to ask, how do you envision it engaging the public? For how you know the project is successful, or including instructions to say, please list specific outcomes or measures.
She's good.
Yeah.
Those are changes on the application. Moving, miss anything on that, or I'll go to the rubric.
I think you got it really well.
Okay. Then on the rubric, overall, just need to make reorder all of these sections to make sure that they align with the application. So I heard that. And then we're gonna break the overall application section into its own section one, split that number three, A3, into two. One, whether the application is complete and clear, and then two, whether it's been done before. Then that would take us to section two, project details and descriptions. No changes. Project three, no changes. Or section three, project costs, no changes. And then on section four, project outcomes. For the specific outcomes and measures, we want to match this language better with the application, which asks, how well do you know, or how you know your project was successful, including those specific outcome and measures. And then criteria L through O, plus a new one, which is contemplative and introspective, would all be added to the application, the applicant and check any that apply, and then that would be removed from the rubric. But we could list it on the score sheet, so you're aware. That's everything I have.
The only thing I have is you have for the breakout question, if they check yes, you ask how the project, and I think instead we could ask has the project.
What do you mean?
You phrased it as how has the project, and I would just drop the how and have it a has question. Has the project changed?
Okay, the project wouldn't have occurred yet.
No, like on the repeat, on the question about is this the second time?
Yeah.
Then that's where you said change the wording.
From how has the project changed from the last time to has the project changed?
If it's a repeat.
Because how implies it has to have changed to me, as opposed to saying has the project changed.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Does it make
and
sense?
You don't necessarily care if it hasn't changed.
I just think we want to know.
Yeah, okay.
You know. Because, yeah.
I noted how it is built, or how they build on. And that was
okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have a different word expander.
I have a question about the process. I know with like. certain projects, like the bus stop benches or other things like that, like you have to get approvals from different city departments. And I thought we were talking about like making that information like more accessible for the applicant from like earlier in the process. And I wonder if we can add something about like as a preface, like kind of like breaking down what kinds of projects they would need to have further approvals for, and where they would contact, who specifically they need to contact for that information.
Well, Rachel has herself listed, and then as a person who will direct, right?
Yeah, I'm open to other thoughts, but my preference would be if someone does need approvals that they just work through like the one staff contact first, because everything's going to be different, so it's hard to say, if you're doing a bench, you need XYZ, because some benches are located in different areas and would impact public works versus parks or whatever, so... That would be my preference, is to keep one contact, and then they can help direct in the direct staff, or even get that approval for them.
And is this a drop-down menu where if they click public city owned?
Yeah, that's the only challenge of having a printout version, but yes, if they, depending on what they choose, it then populates this next section.
So I think you're kind of getting at two different things, because the intent of the question in the beginning was just so that we had knowledge that they wanted to put it, say, in a park or in the parking ramp or on a street corner. So that was the first part of making sure. But you're talking more like, what if you need an engineering stamp on it?
Right.
And I don't know that we would ever know that at this level of a, there's probably no way to do the whole list of, if this, then you need that. It probably does just need to go to a city staff member to say, if they say next time, I want to build a bus stop that includes a swing.
Right.
Then we know it has to have some engineering involved in it, but we may not know that in the early stages of what's, whereas a lot of them, it's location, it's about the location of where.
So we end up signing a grant agreement with everyone who gets a grant, so right. I think that's where we include those details. So
I guess I'm just
fairly early in the process.
If we can put maybe just a disclaimer somewhere that if a project requires, some projects may require sign off by an engineer, something like that. I guess something that just explains that if their application includes
structural components.
Here, but yeah, the structural components that require
that
you
that, like,
that might be.
Page
Can these activities take place on private property, or it has to be accessible to the public? Because we could write that too. Isn't that true that these they have to be if they're on private property, like a store, it has to be accessible to all public, right?
Yeah.
Or if it's,
I mean, like,
my
if it,
house.
If it needs, like, a cement slab or something like that, then, like, if the, if your project proposal includes, I don't know, we need something there, but then you may need additional approvals from city staff.
Probably try to Julie's point, I'll try to keep it like as vague as
possible.
Which maybe isn't what you want, but
no, I can't think of anything.
But just
right
to
now,
like give them a heads up.
Yeah.
I also feel like that's part of how we as a committee judge whether they have the knowledge to do it or not, is like if their plans come in and acknowledging that they've been had an architect or an engineer look at them, we obviously score them higher on, as far as a proposal rather than a simple sketch with no, you know, no showing that they've done it before. So I think it's different than like the bus stop example. We really are trying to work with an emerging artist who's learning all of that as we go, and we're learning a lot with that team at the same time.
Yeah.
But with these, I think we would expect the artist to actually know more of those kind of things that need to be done.
I would actually take off bus stop and just have benches, too.
Sure, yeah.
You know, just, it's not so specific.
Just something to give them an idea that if their proposal requires moving, I don't know, earth or just, I don't know, it's otherwise complicated from a standpoint than their other approvals.
We also kind of do that though. If they like, if someone contacts me and about an installation in a park, I kind of know to walk through those things with them right off the bat to say, you know, have you thought about this or have you thought about. So kind of we do get to that if they're asking permission to put it in certain places.
Okay.
So it might be covered in that way too.
I'm wondering if just like a small, like if there is a way to just add a small disclaimer or a sort of thing of like you may, I don't know, we've talked about approval, you know, I don't know how there's a good way to signal, like you might be in for a can of worms you didn't consider.
Well, another one that comes to mind is the farmer's market artwork on the over here. That was a public art project that was proposed to the group as just a really cool signage, but then the very first thing we said is, how do you plan to attach it to the building? And that same kind of thing got into a whole can of worms of how we can make it happen. So we as a committee also have to think of that as a, it's not just the...
Is that included in the $4,000
or do you
else?
Have the expertise to know how to attach these to a building?
I can give that a shot of adding just like all those as acknowledgements on the introduction page.
But also, do we list that if it is on a private property, it does need to be a property that is accessible to the public?
Yeah, I made that note as well.
Okay.
I'm not sure we say that anymore.
I mean, it's asked on the application whether or not it's on public or privately owned. But
to give them a heads up of like it has to be accessible, like you can't be walking through your private home.
Well, yeah, right. It's like you don't
to your backyard.
Yeah, do you want random people?
Well, but do we want
people?
There's that part too.
We funded like the Front Porch Music Festival before, which is all private property.
But we did it from the discussion of that people would be on the sidewalk and that is public. Mm-hmm. So it just seems like just to give people, so they don't go through a lot of work and realize they're not eligible,
You know, I know for several different grants with the Iowa Arts Council, you have to do a preliminary application where they ask specific questions like, how long have you lived here? I just moved yesterday.
Getting ready to, ready for number five, anything else? Number five.
Do we need a motion on that?
I don't think so. I will make all these updates and include it again in next month's meeting, and then that's where you can approve a budget amount that you want to stick with. And then to Shaylin Harrington, who is our neighborhood outreach coordinator, and she runs the PIN grant program. She will administer this program for us while I'm out, because it all kind of happens right on that same timeline too, so she'll be good at that, obviously, with the PIN grant experience. So. And she'll attend the next meeting.
Right, number five, status of neighborhood art projects. After listening and taking notes from the conversation, you get to do a lot of chatting.
So first on the Lucas Farms neighborhood project, so this was the one that it's been carried over for 3 or 4 years. Unfortunately, it just has tried several different pathways to trying to get it to take place, shape up. Most recently we had attempted to pursue a partnership with the Meskwaki Settlement School, which initially they had indicated interest, and then that correspondence just dried up. So I notified both the Lucas Farms neighborhood president as well as my contact at the Meskwaki School that we would just need to move away from or discontinue discussion of their proposal. So I let them know occasionally in the future we offer opportunities for neighborhoods, so they can keep thinking about it and hopefully come with a better plan next time. But for now, we just can't have those funds continue to be tied up. And then on the South District Bus Stop Bench Project, so that one, the city has kind of fulfilled our promised to site prep there, so we've installed the cement pad and it's ready for installation of the actual sculpture. The artist has run into a problem with some rusting from the primer, so they had to grind that off, reprime, repaint, which set them back a little bit. But the gym crane has been delivered, so I think what remains is for the gym crane, which kind of serves as the structural foundation of the sculpture, to be fabricated, the hand sculpture be affixed and fabricated around that, and that all happens on site, and that can't happen until the painting is completely done, which I think is still a little bit left. So they're still optimistic about installing this fall, and so we are too.
Technically until December 20th.
But that's all I have on those two.
It's great though that the site is all prepped, and it's just such a, you know, I mean, almost drought, but nice dry conditions for that kind of activity.
Yeah, so it was important to get that in before the first freeze, so now we have a little bit longer of a window to get the bench installed. Our public works staff are obviously very busy with leaf season right now,
yes.
So it's just a matter of like when the artist feels ready to install and when our staff can do it and meshing
sure.
those two. So.
No, those trees are almost done. A couple more rainstorms will be over. That's great.
The end is in sight. There's a horizon.
I know.
Ooh. Yes.
So six? Are we to six?
Yes. All right. Do you want to take this over?
No, I have no idea. I'm waiting to hear.
All
right, staff updates. You have more for us.
I have nothing.
I don't think I have anything either.
Old or new business? Okay. Are we ready to adjourn? Somebody
want
to?
Well, I do. I have. Just where are we at with the new plan? I wasn't here last time, so I just, you know, with our new strategic.
So Rachel gave us an update. And if it wasn't last meeting, it was the meeting before. But it seems like we're going to do an open session in the new year, perhaps? Or is it next meeting?
Yeah, I can. There was a kind of like a timeline memo in there, so I'll share that with you so you have it. But we wanted to do a public input survey, and we just had a community-wide community survey. And so we didn't want to overlap the two. No. So we had to wait for that to close, and then now I'm working with communications to get that public input survey out in December. And then we'll have my replacement can go over those results with you, and then after that we would want to schedule like a work session of the group to just talk about what do we actually want in the strategic plan. So I think that if we do that in the spring and we can get it kind of written and ready to go, hopefully you can approve by the start of the new fiscal year, which would be July 1, which is when the current one ends.
Right.
You haven't missed the good stuff, Anita.
I'm always so worried, you know, middle child.
It's okay, middle child, Anita.
Okay, Scott, you're up.
Motion to adjourn.
Who's going to second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.